Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. My voice is changing on me, so I have a bit of a problem recording now. Not that a couple of you guys would even care about that, but it doesn't matter to me anymore, not a bit. Let's talk a little bit, Jimmy, about, I know we're going to talk about debate, and I know we're going to talk about the interview with Tucker Carlson and former President Biden. Let's talk first about a couple
former of former President things. Trump, you mean?
What did I say?
Biden.
Of course I meant President Trump. I just want to see how many people, including myself, are awake right now. Jimmy, let's get into what happened to Prigozhin. You want to describe that?
Yeah, so Yevgeny Prigozhin, the guy that started Wagner, the mercenary group, the most competent military force in the Russian inventory, who had operated in Syria, all throughout Africa, had made basically, hundreds of millions of dollars in blood money for operating for the Russian government. He's the guy that was successful in helping the Russians take Bakhmut. He's the guy that actually said, hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of Defense Minister Shoigu and the Chief of General Staff, the Russian Chief of General Staff Gerasimov, because they're incompetent.
Right.
And he moved all his forces towards Moscow, or at least a large force toward Moscow, and nearly took the capital in an interesting coup last 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Coup attempt. But he stopped. All the government officials said that people will pay for that. And then there was a negotiated agreement to let him go and move his fighters to Belarus.
Okay.
He was just in Africa this week, just a couple days ago. Did a video saying, hey, we're going to make Russia great again. We're involved here down here in Africa. We're doing great things. And flying on a plane, apparently, according to the information, between St. Petersburg and Moscow, the plane fell out of the sky. Now, the videos show the plane falling directly out of the sky. I've seen the videos. I've heard from multiple angles. Pretty hard for a plane to fall directly out of the sky without some catastrophic event happening to it.
Yeah.
I will tell you that it sounds and looks a lot like an intercept by either surface-to-air or an air-to-air missile. Apparently, he's flying near a Putin home or residence that has a large amount of air defense systems on it. How this happened, it is based on the way that the aircraft fell, it's very unlikely it was just an accident. There was either a bomb on board or probably a rocket. I would expect an interceptor took him out. It kind of solves a problem for a lot of people. And it certainly sends a signal to anybody that might consider an attempt to move to Moscow again or undermine Putin. At the same time, it really causes a lot of questions at the international level because everyone's wondering what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
Prigozhin obviously was not a loved guy. He had an international arrest warrant out for him, as does Putin. So, I think it was a crazy event of a lot of crazy things that have happened. If you're going to listen to Russian propagandists, you're going to hear that, he was a good guy and a strong supporter of Russia as they try to counter the narrative of many of the people down in Rostov-on-Don that actually supported him in his attempted coup. A lot of frustration at the basically incompetence of the Russian military because they have not been successful in operations in Ukraine. And it's just one more in these just unbelievable set of circumstances along with this Russian invasion of Ukraine that, is really making a lot of people worried and unstable, almost as much as the lack of strategy and the incompetence of the Biden administration and NATO working with the problem itself.
Right. Now, let me say one thing, Jim. I may have heard you wrong, but I thought that you said that the plane that Prigozhin was in appeared to go down accidentally.
No, the government is saying that it came down accidentally, okay. Or at least they're implying that it came down accidentally. But when you look at the video and you listen to, you can actually hear another aircraft, a fast-moving aircraft, as the aircraft body is falling out of the sky. There is video of the aircraft falling out of the sky. You realize it's very unlikely that it was an accident. It's some other, either a device on board or, as I speculate, an intercept missile took him down.
Now, Jimmy, you wanted to talk about something in addition to that, and I believe that before we got into the debates and the interviews, if I'm not mistaken, you wanted to go into the Maui situation a little bit more. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. I do want to say one more thing about this issue. You know, whether Putin supported Prigozhin is irrelevant. What matters is what the Ministry of Defense thought about Prigozhin. And there's a high probability that Shoigu and Gerasimov took down Prigozhin because they just knew that he was a threat and maybe he was too close to Putin and they wanted to keep the power and the dominance, because there is the only force that would be capable of countering the defense ministry was the Wagner group.
Yeah.
There's no other capability inside Russia that could counter the defense ministry. So the biggest they hated him, he hated them. From my perspective, they're the ones that took him down.
Yeah. Okay, let's get on to
Maui and children.
The Maui children, yeah. I think it's a damn shame, basically, the way that our government handled that situation. The children, they feel there may be over 100 children that are missing. Troops should have been sent in on a manhunt, if I'm not... I mean, I will say that and believe it until the day that I die, Jimmy.
Well, I mean, at this point, the children are dead.
Yeah,
and it's not just... And it's not 100. We're talking about hundreds.
Okay.
So there's 114 people that are dead already. There are still nearly 1,000, well over 800 that are missing. A large percentage of them are children that were out of school and either at home alone or home with their grandparents on that day.
Yeah.
Now, the most horrendous aspect of all of this is the media cover up. Remember back in the Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, the total incompetence by the New Orleans government, by the city government, by putting people inside the stadium, the violence, the flooding that came days after the hurricane came because of just bad management.
Right.
Out of that entire event, the total death toll was about 1,390 people. Originally, they had said about 1,800, but now about 1,390 people. 1,392, I believe, is the final figures that they've identified. All you heard for weeks and months from the media was the incompetence of the Bush administration. You didn't hear about the incompetence of the governor. You didn't hear about the incompetence of the mayor in New Orleans. You didn't hear about the competence of the first responders. You heard about the FEMA lack of response and the mistakes by the Bush administration.
Yeah,
this issue.
I remember that, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just before the 2004 election, in an attempt to publicly attack the administration. You hear none of that, yet this tragedy is even worse and more, regardless of what's caused the event. And there's speculation out there, and Chartster believes that it was a, you know, deep state attack. There's a lot of people that speculate that the developers actually helped make the fire get worse in order to buy the property out. There's a lot of information out there that, you know, people are setting fires in order to cause climate change. When I see the facts on those, I'm there if there's facts that prove it. But at this point, what I'm talking about is the incompetence of the government, local, state, and federal government, to react to the issues prior to the event, during the event, and after the event.
Right. I agree.
So there is information
for those kids. Yeah, 100%.
That there is information that the state would not allow the electric company to clear under the wires because they didn't want to spend the money on it. There is information that the commissioner of water in the region spent restricted water for 6 hours, saying we're not going to use that water for because we're in a water shortage right now. We're going to not use the water to put out the fire because we've got to take care of local native plants. If these facts are true, those people need to go to prison. Because if there are 300, 400, 500 children that died because of the incompetence of the government, they actually blocked routes out of the town, the only highway out of the town, and did not allow traffic to get out as the fire raged around cars. People burned and died in their cars. People left their cars and jumped into the ocean because the police had blocked the road out. And they said they were doing it to protect it from downed power lines. Well, why the hell did they shut off the power lines and let people out when they knew? Because they're incompetent. They're either incompetent or they are complicit in a mass murder of a large number of children and families in Maui. And if this does not come out and the media sits on it, then we absolutely, as a nation and as a world, have gone over the top and have no longer willing to even analyze the facts of the incompetence and the potential complicity of government officials.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. There's a lot of incompetence out there right now. I can't really believe that what happened in Maui was a planned event. Oh, I just don't believe that. And I will say that the response of both the state government and the federal government was embarrassing to me as an American.
That's more than embarrassing. It's absolutely just disgusting. And right. I don't know what facts there are to show that it would be a planned event. I'm not saying that it is. I think it was right now, everything indicates incredibly bad planning with super high winds, power lines that went down, caused fires, and an overall incompetence with the local officials and local government. And when
I blame President Trump 100% for his after the fact response, but I have to blame
Biden. Trump.
He's on my mind right now. I blame the response of our federal government, of course, on President Trump, but I also want to say
on President Biden.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm a little upset right now for a whole bunch of reasons. But
Stay in the game. You're with me, man. You're with me.
I know I'm with you. Okay, but I have to say that I also blame the response 100% on the local government in Maui. It was absolutely abysmal.
No, it was pathetic.
Yeah.
Absolutely pathetic. In fact, now we're days into it. The mayor was asked yesterday, either today or earlier today or yesterday afternoon, how many children are missing. And he said he had no idea.
That was the mayor of Lahaina, correct?
Correct.
I have to say one thing. Lahaina is a very small portion, Jim, of Maui. And you know that because you live there.
Yes, but that's where everybody's missing. And if you're the mayor, you're the elected official there, you better be working your ass off to find out who's missing, what children you need to find, how many, haven't shown up for school, doing outreach. You've got myriads of methods to do that, to find that out.
Right. No, I don't disagree. Of course, that's 100% right. The whole situation in Maui was handled very, very sloppily.
Now, but the worst part of it is, as I compared to the Katrina, where the media was all over the Trump administration, when they actually had no responsibility, and they did quite a bit to try to help in 2004 with FEMA, bringing in trailers, bringing in emergency people, putting General Henry in charge, all of these different events they attempted to do. What you're seeing now is a complete cover-up by the Biden administration controlled media.
Okay.
And that is absolutely unacceptable in our nation. We just can't allow that to happen.
No, of course, Jim. I have been saying that along with you for months and months and months right now. Let's get over to the Republican debate and then the interview of former President Trump by Tucker Carlson.
Okay. So the debate was
a joke.
Could have been its own natural disaster. That was pathetic.
There's no question.
It was absolutely a useless event. As far as I'm concerned, the only guy that stood out was Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's valuable for him, because he actually stood up and stood for the points that are basically driving America right now. And those are those MAGA, America First points.
Right.
He did that. He showed guts. He's definitely got a future. Will he win the nomination? Unlikely. Is he got a good chance at being Trump's vice president? I think so.
Even though he's already refused that office.
It doesn't matter. You know, when it comes down to it, if he doesn't win the primary and he gets asked, that happens. He has to say, I am running for president. I'm not running for vice president.
Right.
That's his job in the campaign.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I have to say that the only thing, in my opinion, the only positive thing very possibly that could come out of this particular election that's coming up is if the Republicans happen to lose, and I think they will, I would go on and I would say that it's going to show the, what's the best way to put this? It's going to show the total lack of organization in our political process. And the reason I say that is because anybody in their right mind has to know that the Democrats have come up short in the last 4 years, Jim. I'm not calling them bad people. I'm saying they're coming up short.
I'm saying if Joe Biden is the nominee and he gets reelected, the nation, there is no America. If you go a couple more years of that, there's no more. And I don't think that there's any way they can cover up his incompetence. So that means they're going to have to put someone else in pretty soon. But let's get back to the debate issue.
All right.
And I really think the greatest outcome of last night's debate was Pence is done. Put a fork in him. He's out. There's no way he's going to recover.
I would agree with that.
He's out. DeSantis stayed even. The same people that are supporting him may still think a little bit. You're seeing the spin trying to justify that he's there, but the likelihood of him gaining any ground on Trump is minimal.
Right.
I think he'll lose ground to Vivek, and I think no one else in the debate mattered. I don't think Nikki Haley mattered. I don't think Chris Christie is an embarrassment.
Yes, he is. I noticed that last night. He had very little, if anything, to say, Jim.
Yeah. Now, let's switch over to, because the debate, I think, was a total circus, a clown show. Fox ratings, we don't know the numbers yet, but I know they didn't win this thing because Tucker Carlson did a pre-recorded interview of Donald Trump. He let Donald Trump pretty much ramble for 45 minutes. He didn't press him on any issues, and I think Tucker Carlson's goal was just to embarrass Fox News. He didn't even want to put any big questions out there. He just wanted to show the numbers that he will get compared to Fox News. And it looks like he had over 130 million views of that interview within the first, hours of it being posted.
Right.
130 million views. That is crazy compared to probably 10 million, maybe at the most, maybe 15 million at the most for Fox News' debate.
Yeah.
So Tucker Carlson wins it hands down. Trump rambled on a long time. He made some good points at a couple of issues. He looked fairly competent. He did not tube anybody directly. He was very cautious about even tubing Bill Barr. He was cautious about Mike Pence. I mean, he didn't appreciate them. He said they should have done different things, but he didn't call them names.
Right.
He only said Ron DeSanctimonious. But basically, he didn't do anything else beyond that. So it was interesting how he approached it. And I think he'll, even though he rambled quite a bit, I think he will be a little more approachable to many people because the ones of the 130 million views that watched it last night.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Tommy's going to tell on that one. I think he's in trouble personally, but I have to say.
Why? Please tell me why.
Okay. I think he's got basically the total U.S. federal government against him, and I'm not sure that he can beat that, Jim. I'm not saying he's
a
bad.
Wait a minute, goddammit.
I'm not calling him incompetent. I'm not saying that the Democrats are correct. I'm saying that I think it could be very similar to the Little Bighorn with General Custer.
That's why I wanted you to make the point, and I think it's a valid point. There is a potential for that.
Yeah.
Here's what the great part about this is: people are so fed up with the federal government and the direction of the nation and the economy and the border and crime and gender, you know, ideology and Marxist ideology.
Yeah.
That they are not going to support the federal government. And what happens each time they've indicted Donald Trump?
Yeah.
His poll numbers have gone up.
Yeah,
his support has gone up.
Of course it has. Of course it has.
So the only way they're going to beat him is by controlling the actual tools and method of the vote counting.
Okay. I'm not sure I agree or disagree with that. I'd say I probably would agree with that. But I would also say that I think that if he can beat the U.S. federal government, then he deserves to be the president. I'm not sure anybody, any human being, can accomplish that, Jim.
And you're right. And that's the sad, scary part right now. That's what we have to fight against, right? Where we've allowed the government to take more control than the people who are actually being governed.
Right.
They are supposed to respond. The government is supposed to be here to benefit Americans, not take advantage of them,
agreed,
not control them,
agreed,
not tell them to be silent, not censor them, not force vaccinations down their throat, not take away resources from their local communities to stop police from doing investigations and protecting people.
Jim, so, I think even a staunch Democrat would believe that.
I hope so, but as I said about your post yesterday, a lot of Democrats actually believe that, in fact, Biden is doing all the things you had on that list. In fact, in spite of the fact that you were actually being sarcastic about it, showing the weaknesses of this government, what's not
well,
what they're failing
minute.
At.
Okay, let's just take these point by point. Okay, first of all, a person would have to be an imbecile in an institution if that person believed that we have safe and secure borders. They'd have to be absolutely insane.
No, Al, I recommended you walk around your community and ask them.
We'll see. Now, the second point that we have a sound and consistent currency value, if a person isn't in tune with that particular subject, it's a fairly complicated subject, and if they're not in tune with that, they probably simply don't care that our currency value is falling drastically. The strongest military in the world, who in their right mind, Jimmy, would believe that wasn't sarcastic?
I told you, the Democrats that are committed to blindness, because they won't understand the currency value because they don't pay attention to it. They still believe that our military is the strongest in the world, and the probability is it is strong. It's just getting weak very rapidly.
Yeah. Let's take the next one.
Well respected by all foreign countries.
Yeah,
that's an embarrassment. But if you listen to CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, read the Washington Post, New York Times, you think Biden is out there doing all kinds of great things.
Okay. Let's go on to the next one. No serious economic inflation. If they do absolutely nothing when they're out purchasing things, they may believe that. Our inflation is pretty high and it's pretty dangerous. Okay, next point. Our president.
Yeah, I know, but I do want to say that if you're a wealthy upper middle class leftist elitist, or even a very wealthy leftist, you don't care.
Okay, next, low municipal crime rate. All you have to do is read the paper about the killings that are going on a daily basis in the United States of America.
Or live in the penthouse apartment in New York and have, you know, hired private security.
Okay.
Or you just live in the suburbs and you don't get into the city, but you're a leftist soccer mom that thinks that abortion is the most important thing in the world, and you don't realize because maybe your neighbor was robbed, but that just happens every now and again.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. The domestic economy is growing. Come on. 2%, you call that growth? Yeah, theoretically, even if it only grows 2%, that is a growth, even though it's minuscule.
But Joe Biden and KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, they say that Bidenomics is working. It's okay. Doing great. They're finally turning it around. We're getting more jobs than Trump had, these types of things. I mean, these are the arguments that they're putting out.
Okay, number nine, the national debt is under control. If you read any paper, either the New York Times or, for that matter, the Washington Post, you're going to see that our national debt is not under control.
The leftists say, and the leftist economists say, well, this is how you have it's owing yourself money. So there's no problem with it. We can continue to create money and eventually, you know, we'll be able to make it up. I mean, that's what they argue. That's what they say. And that's modern monetary theory, MMT. They believe that that's how you solve it. And the way to the solution to get out from the under the debt is to raise taxes. And that's what they'll do because inflation will get you to the point where you've actually got enough resources to pull to have more taxes. And it'll actually the inflation will reduce the actual value of the debt. So that's the argument that those economists and the leftists make.
Fifth best educational system in the world. We have been number one in the past, but our competency rates for students, for lack of better terms, test scores in important subjects for students are number five in the world based by country. We were number one when I was a little bit younger. Now we're number five. Now the Portland school system, Portland is a major metropolitan area. Now the Portland school system doesn't even give Fs or failing grades. They don't think it's fair to do that. Okay.
And I agree, Al. And here's one area where I think most of us can agree on. Education is failing in America, right, left and right. So that's one area I think that's a potential to change people's mind.
Okay. What about high moral values?
You know...
And I know that's a hot button for you, Jim.
No, I think we've lost it. I think we've lost any sense of morality in America because all things are okay. And I think it's the equivalent to the Roman Empire collapsing. And also the most important thing when you lack some sort of penalty for your failure in moral values. And at this point, you can rob, you can steal. I was in Colorado last week. I was actually in the courthouse for an event. I sat through a number of cases, and there were people on the stand, illegal immigrant, 3 DUIs, driving under influence, hit a car, multiple counts. Go ahead and put them on probation again.
Right.
Others, you know, well, you're in for robbery. That's all right. You know, oh, it's your fifth robbery attempt. Huh? Well, all right. Pay a fine. You're going to have probation for 2 years, but right. You're released now. You know, this is when there's no consequences for your actions. There's no consequences for your lies. When actually you're supported for providing misinformation because the misinformation actually supports the agenda, the political agenda, Then we've pretty much lost it.
Right. Now let's go on. I want to talk about a couple of the just two very simple.
How long we been, Al? How long have we been?
I'm sorry?
How long have we gone so far?
We've gone a long time. Hang on, let me check it too so I get you an exact amount. We have gone 30 minutes.
That's a long time. I don't know if we want to keep going at this point.
I don't want to keep going necessarily right now, but I want to say the issue of high moral values, when I mentioned Corinne Jean-Pierre and her partner, would they say we had high moral values in America when they are criticized for every single thing they do? I would say no. And I would just leave it at that. Okay, Jimmy, thanks for your time.
You bet, Al. We had a lot.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.